Oh, there we go. Now we're back. And do we have sound? We do have sound. Wasn't sure if I turned the sound on. All right, guys. Welcome back to the show today. This is the Nerd News Desk. I, of course, am your host, Dirt. Today we're going to talk about what I promised we would talk about, and that is, in fact, laptops. Now, I get a lot of questions from you guys time and time again about different laptops, whether or not they can play certain games, what are the things you should look for in a laptop, whether or not you should get a Chromebook or a Windows computer, things like that over and over and over. So we're going to talk about some of these issues that keep coming up, talk about what you should look for in a laptop, what you should avoid in a laptop, why you might go for a Chromebook instead of a Windows computer, why you might consider buying a used one instead of a new one, things like that to look forward to. So I guess with that being that, we might as well just jump right into it because I don't really have anything else to discuss today. Unless, of course, you want to go through my growing pains trading cards that I just got. No? You don't? Because I thought growing pains trading cards would be cool, but guess I was wrong. All right, guys. Laptops. When you're looking for laptops, the thing to keep in mind, and I talked before about the kind of prices to keep in mind and things like that on another episode. But to reiterate, if you want to play games, if that's the thing you're looking for, if you want to play Fortnite, if you want to play PUBG, if you want to play Sims 4 or Roblox or whatever, generally speaking, buy yourself an Xbox One. Just buy an Xbox One. You can find them used, $150, sometimes even $99 if you find the right pawn shop someplace and have them, maybe Facebook Marketplace, someplace like that. If you buy a gaming system for playing games, you're going to have a much better experience than trying to buy some sort of cheap laptop. If you want to buy a laptop to play those games, then you want to spend $400, $500, $600 to get an entry-level machine. That's not even like a great machine, but it's a decent machine to eke out some of those games. If you want to play games, get a game machine unless you're willing to spend a lot of money. Now, the thing that I keep running into is that nobody wants to spend a lot of money, and I'm with you. I like to buy cheap stuff as well. The laptop I'm recording this show on is the most expensive one I ever bought, and it was less than $1,000. And it's one that I bought specifically because I could add on to it as time went by. So I could invest $100 here and $50 there and kind of beef things up as time you know, rolls along. But as far as, you know, when you're investing in a machine, most people are going to use a laptop just for checking their email, Facebook, Reddit, maybe scrolling through Instagram, Twitter. You know, it's the same basic stuff you use on your phone. But you want it on a bigger screen and generally with a keyboard. So keeping that in mind, don't expect to play Fortnite on a $200 laptop. It's just not going to be an experience that you're going to enjoy, if it'll even run at all. And a lot of times it won't. But if you are looking for a budget machine, and you're just kind of thinking, like, I don't really know. Is a Chromebook the right thing for me? Do I need to spend $100? Do I need to spend $200? What do I look for? What do I try to, you know, keep away from? Well, that's what we're going to talk about today. So, what are some different options as far as buying something just for your basic everyday use, okay? As far as, like, if you want to buy something used, used really isn't a problem. Used is fine 9 times out of 10. You will get a lemon every so often, but I mean, you know, that just happens. Now, buying a used machine, for instance, I have this big old, this is a HP EliteBook 6930P. This machine was a pretty decent workhorse back when Windows 7 was a thing. So when Windows 7 was a thing, this was a great laptop. Nowadays, not so much. If you look at it, it's thick, it's bulky. The nice thing is it does have an actual optical drive, so that can be useful for some people. The keyboard was not backlit on this thing. It actually has up here, there's a little button that you press, and there's a little square here, if I can get this to show up. There's a little square here that pops out. This little square is a light. And when you pop this open, it actually shines a light down on the keyboard, because a backlit keyboard wasn't really a thing. As far as buying an old machine like this, this is Intel Core 2 V Pro Pentium. This is a dual core. If you're going to buy an old, used dual core machine, this is not going to be good as a Windows machine in this day and age. It's just not. Now, what I've done is taken the old machine, I put an SSD in it, I put as much RAM as it'll take in here, and then I turn this into a Chromebook. So I use something called Cloud Ready. And what Cloud Ready does is it takes these old Windows laptops, turns them into Chromebooks. It's actually running an open version of Chromebook, of Chrome OS, using Chromium, which is the open source version of Chrome. So instead of being the Google one, it's the open source one. So you're a little closer to running Linux, but you're using Chromium and you're using that same idea as the Chrome OS, everything that's baked into Chrome OS, except for the Android apps. So this will not run the Android apps. And part of that is just because of these older machines are not going to run those things very well. But for a basic machine, this is the type of thing that you can throw on your nightstand. You know, maybe if you've got like a workshop in the garage, you want to throw something out there. If you're, you know, stuck in the basement doing laundry a lot and you just want a machine down there, you can kind of surf around and whatever. This is one of those things that it's cheap. You can put Cloud Ready on it. You can surf the web. It's going to do Facebook fine. It's going to look through Instagram fine. It's going to watch YouTube videos fine. Just kind of a basic, you know, machine. Cheap. You put Cloud Ready on it. It's decent. Again, it's not going to be a great multimedia experience. It's not going to be great for you know, playing games and Android apps. If you want a Chromebook that is actually powerful, if you want a Chromebook that's not, you know, ridiculously expensive, but is still going to be a good machine with lots of options and lots of power, and really takes advantage of the things that Chrome can offer, I would suggest the Chromebook that I use here. This is the Samsung, what is this? I forget what this is called, which is smart, I know. It's basically a two-in-one machine. And what that means is you've got your laptop form factor, but then it also folds all the way around and can be used similar to a tablet. Now, why is this an important deal on something like this? That's because this particular version comes with a pen embedded, a stylus. So you can actually draw, you can, you know, if you take notes, if you're a student and you're in class, you can take this thing, flip it around, lay it down, and you can actually write on it just like paper, take notes. If you're an artist and you like to do art like I do, this is the perfect thing. You take out and you can just sketch, write on it and draw. You can paint. Canvas is an app run by Chrome through the web browser. So you just need internet access. You can use your phone as a hotspot, connect it to the internet, and then you're good to go. This is the type of thing that I wouldn't suggest buying a Pixelbook really to anybody. Like, I don't care who you are, $1,000 on a top-of-the-line Chromebook is a bad idea. But this thing, it's a Core M3, so it's similar to an i3. So it's a low-powered, but it's an M, it's a mobile version. It's a low-powered, so you get a lot of battery life. It's got a fairly big hard drive, all things considered, especially with it being a Chromebook. But it will also run Android apps. So it'll work similar to an Android tablet, where you can get those apps. Use them the same way. It's a touch screen, so you're going to, you know, be able to use your finger just fine if you want to, or you can use the stylus for doing fine line stuff. But then again, it's a great keyboard. This is a keyboard I really like to use. The touchpad is nice, and it can, again, do all the same Chromebook stuff. Now, why a Chromebook instead of doing an actual Windows laptop? Okay, for one thing, it uses a lot less power, so your battery lasts a lot longer. I can charge this thing and generally not have to charge it again, depending on how often I use it, maybe a week, maybe after 3 days, if I'm using it pretty heavily. If I'm sitting there watching a lot of videos and maybe using some apps, then maybe I have to do it at the end of the day. But for, you know, basic stuff, checking email, doing some Facebook stuff, setting it down, setting aside, it may go more than a week before I have to charge it again, which is nice because this is one of those things. You're heading out the door, you can pick it up and go, and it's there. And it's powerful enough that you go to YouTube and you're trying to watch videos, nothing's going to lag, nothing's going to be slow, nothing's going to be choppy. It's good and powerful, but you are going to pay probably about $300 for something like that. Now, if you're not buying a computer to game on, it's a great thing to have. It's powerful enough that if you want to do any sort of photo work, if you're the type of person that, you know, you take photos and then you want to put them onto your machine to get a better look at them, to crop them, do some work in like Lightroom or things like that, they do have Lightroom apps, Photoshop, things like that, that will run on the Chromebooks. And it's a great pick up and go cheap thing like that. So for instance, I use my main laptop here, this Dell Inspiron gaming machine is my main machine. I game on this. This is where I do all my video editing, things like that. This was a very expensive one. I leave it here. I usually don't take it out of the house very often. If I'm going on a long trip, I'll take it with me. But if I'm going to be gone just a day or two, I'm not going to take this big, bulky, powerful machine with me. I'm going to take something that's a little easier to go with. A Chromebook is great if you're not trying to run Windows apps, do anything that is specifically tailored to Windows, like doing a lot of Excel spreadsheets or PowerPoints or whatever. You can kind of do that in Chrome using the mobile apps that are available through Microsoft Office 365, some of that stuff, but really not built for that. If you are someone who does a lot of that type of stuff, maybe you're looking at something for work, or you're a student that does a lot of that type of stuff, then you want a regular laptop. And, you know, there are off-brand ones like this. This is a Chewy Hero Book. I'll be doing a full review of this soon. This is a fairly decent one, but again, you're going to pay probably about $250. Not a Hero Book. This is going to run you maybe $150 to $200, okay? If you want to go cheaper than that, you can get something with a smaller screen. This was my wife's go-to machine for a long time because she just wanted something small. This is her Dell Inspiron tiny little laptop. Now, the difference, really, in these two machines is going to come down to size. You get a much bigger screen, bigger keyboard on this one than you are going to get on this. But really, on the inside, they are very similar. The architecture on these things are very, very close. You're getting a lot of the same power out of both of these machines. It just kind of depends. Do you want to pay a little bit more for a bigger screen, bigger keyboard, a little more comfort, or do you want something small? And she likes the small ones because she likes to throw these into her bag and then just, you know, run around with them. They're light, they're small, they're good to go. But on something, you know, when you look at some of these type computers, you can get a full-size keyboard. So this is a 14-inch screen, so you get a full-size keyboard. You've got a nice big touchpad. All of this stuff works really well. The screen is nice. It's a IPS screen, okay? That's what one of the things you want to look for. So you can write that down, start off, an IPS screen. That means in-plane switching. And that means as you rotate it, if you're not looking at it straight on, it does kind of switch. It has these, I don't know all the technology behind it, but basically it means it's going to look pretty decent no matter how you're looking at it, as opposed to ones that are not, that are just a TFT screen, a reflective screen. If you have those at the wrong angle, everything gets washed out. Sometimes you go too far and it looks reversed. If you've ever bought a super cheap tablet from like Walmart, you know, you see these things and it's like $40 for an 8-inch Android tablet, and you think great, and then you get it, it's like you look at it straight on, it looks okay, and then the moment you turn it just a little bit, all the images, all the colors flip, Everything is washed out, looks gray or whatever. That's because those screens are really cheap and look really terrible. An IPS screen is going to look good pretty much no matter how you're looking at it. And so that's one of the things you want to look for. Now, as far as size goes, that's just a matter of preference. If you want a bigger one or a smaller one, even on these smaller ones, you know, my wife, like I said, she liked these because she could just throw it in her bag and take it with her. It's a much smaller keyboard because you've got a smaller screen and a tinier little touchpad. But still, this is from Dell. It's a quality machine. The keyboard, it's still a nice keyboard to type on. And the touchpad, it's got the little clickies on there. You know, it works well, even though it's smaller. So something like this, it's not a problem that it's smaller. It's just that it's kind of your preference on whether you want something bigger or you want something smaller. Now, as far as how much RAM do you need? A lot of you will send me these questions where you ask, like, can I play Roblox on this? Can I play Minecraft on this? Can I play Sims 4 on this? Can I play Fortnite on this? I'm going to tell you right now, any laptop that doesn't have 4 gigs of RAM, you're not going to be able to play the most basic games on. You're going to need at least 4 to get in the door, okay? Now, the Evu laptop that I did a review on, you can look at the channel and you can find that review, it actually had 3 gigs of RAM, which is weird. RAM usually comes in pairs. Sometimes you get one by itself solo, and then something that's like a small Windows tablet. This is a Windows 10 tiny little tablet. This has 1 gig of RAM. That's the absolute minimum. You don't want anything lower than that. And even on this, it is super slow and kind of annoying. But it's, I don't know why I have this. I've had it for many years and I just haven't gotten rid of it. But 1 gig of RAM, really not enough to do anything. But usually it comes in 2s. And then once you hit 2s, then it's like 4, 8, 16, 32, 64, etc., etc. 2 gigs of RAM is what you find in a lot of these cheap laptops. If you go on Wish.com, you go on AliExpress, if you look at netbooks on Amazon, a lot of them will say 2 gigs. 2G is the way they'll write it for 2 gigs of RAM. That is not enough. You don't want that. You don't even want that for basic everyday tasks. That's going to feel, especially nowadays, that's going to feel really underpowered. As we get to more progressive web apps, things that you're doing online become more interactive. If you're trying to do anything on Facebook, watching videos, playing any of the games on Facebook, things like that, 2 gigs of RAM is not going to do it. That Evu had 3, and 3, normally I would be like, 3's not enough, but I was actually surprised at the performance of that particular machine. That particular machine, I don't know how it did it, but it did it pretty well. But as far as RAM, you want at least 4 to get in the door, okay? And then anything more than 4 is just going to be great. If you can find something with 8, then buy something with 8. You know, like my workhorse machine here, this has 32 gigs of RAM. That's great. 32 gigs of RAM is great for doing a lot of stuff. But your basic machine, you want at least 4. Now, hard drive space. This is another one that gets kind of touchy. A lot of the laptops that come out today are really based off the Windows tablets. So this type of thing, this tiny little Windows tablet, even though Windows 8 didn't really take off like they hoped, and even though Windows tablets didn't really take off as the thing that they hoped, these were very important for the evolution of laptops. Because what happened is as they started to make these machines, they started to think about making things smaller, making them more energy efficient, and then making them able to do more with less is really what they were pushing for. And you know, when you get to something like, say, the Surface line, and I've got a Surface up here in the dock. Years ago, I bought a Surface 3, and I still use it. A Surface, these are great machines. It's a tablet, but then, so okay, so you've got the tablet form factor similar to an iPad. That's the type of thing that we're going for. But then you have these covers. This is the type cover, as it's called. Connects with magnets, and it's a cover that protects your screen, but then it flips out, and you can actually set it down as a keyboard. It's a great keyboard. It actually feels really good to type on. It's backlit. But these things can get expensive. But trying to get things into this tiny form factor and have it be a real legitimate machine made companies think about how they could make things smaller, do more with less, conserve power better, things like that. So when you look at some of these laptops, if you crack one of these things open, like this is big, but it's big because of the keyboard and the screen. If you were to open this up, you would see that really a big chunk of this is battery. Okay, so they squeeze the battery down thin and then have it take a lot of space. But your main circuit board is really all about this big. Like, there's really not much more to it. It's a tiny thing. You have the RAM is usually soldered onto it, so it can't be upgraded. Your processor soldered onto it, so it can't be upgraded. All your stuff is right there. Maybe you'll have a small little board here off to the side connected by a ribbon, so you get some extra USB ports and things like that. So they'll have an extra thing for those connectors on the side. But it really is a tiny little circuit board, and the rest of it's just kind of empty space. So they'll put battery over half of it, and then you got this empty spot. Sometimes they'll put a weight in there so it actually feels a little heavier, so it doesn't feel like you're holding a cheap hollow shell. But really, yeah, the guts inside a thing like this, you could pull it out and stick it into this form factor, and it would still fit. So as far as, hard drive space, when they started making these, 16 gigabytes of space was really all you needed. You would have about 10 for Windows, and that left you with 6 gigs. You could put a couple apps, you had some extra space on there, and that was it. And you really didn't need a whole lot more. Well, Windows 10 has gotten bigger, and it's gotten bigger, and it's gotten bigger, and it's gotten bigger. 16 used to be the minimum. Now they say 32 is the minimum. You don't want 32, okay? One problem my wife had with these little things, as much as she loved them, with 32 gigs of space, once you put your Windows on there, you put a couple of the programs you want, you put like Chrome and maybe you put Office or something on there, then you only got about 6 gigs left. You don't have a whole lot of space on these things with 32. 32, even though it will run, it will piss you off all the time. You do not want 32. The minimum that you want is 64. So you want 4 gigs of RAM, and you want at least 64 gigs of hard drive space. Now, the hard drives that they put into these machines are known as eMMC, and it's basically a type of flash memory, kind of similar to a thumb drive, not exactly, but along that same idea. It's a chip that's going to be soldered onto the board. It is not upgradable at all. You cannot have any extra space. So something to keep in mind when you're buying it is, one, how big is it? Is it at least 64? But then, does it have any sort of expansion opportunities? Now, most of these are going to have a slot where you can put a tiny micro... I'm trying to do it backwards while looking at the screen. It doesn't always work. A tiny micro SD slot. So similar to the... Actually, it's the exact same memory card you're going to put in your phone. But some of them... we'll take a 128 gig, some will take a 256 gig. It just depends on how much you want to pay to add some extra space. It's not always the fastest. It's not always the most secure. It's not the most stable way of doing things, but it is something you can do to beef it up a little bit and add some extra space. One of the problems is, though, you can't boot off of the flash card, your SD card, without doing some hacks and doing some things, and a lot of people really aren't comfortable with that. So something like the Chewy Hero book, they have an extra option, and this is a great thing to have. If you look at the back, you have this little hatch. It's almost like the little, if you've ever had footy pajamas, had the little poop flap in the back, where you took off the two little buttons and popped the flap down, and then you could poop in the toilet, wipe and put it back up. This is the little poop flap hatch that's on the back. Now this, you open it up, and there's actually a spot where you can put what's known as an SSD, an M.2 SSD drive. And these things look almost like a RAM chip, a memory chip. And you can take that thing and slide it in there. You just open it up, you slide it in there, and you put a screw on it. And now you've got extra hard drive space. In this case, it's a 128. You can put a 256 or a 512 or a 1 terabyte. And you can actually reinstall Windows and tell it to boot off of that drive and ignore that eMMC drive that's in here, or just use that as like a recovery partition or something, just or something to just throw some random files on. A lot of times what people like to do is they will keep on something like this. This has a 64 gigabyte eMMC drive. You use that for Windows, but then you tell Windows to install everything onto this drive. So your C drive, your main drive, is on that 64 gigabyte drive that's built in. Then you have this extra drive. You can put Steam on here. You can put the Epic Game Store. You can tell it to install all the programs, all the apps. You know, if you're going to get stuff from the Microsoft Store, or if you're just going to download Chrome, whatever, and run it off of there, it can run off of here and not use up that main space. So you have essentially a drive that is just Windows with very little else, leaves the other space on it free, and it's also less likely to become corrupted, have problems with viruses, things like that, because it's separated out, set apart. And then you have your second drive that you load with all your other stuff. Because it's with this little flap, in a year, if you decide you need more space, then you can buy a new one and just pop the old one out, pop the new one in. Now, you're going to have to transfer all your stuff over, but, you know, whatever. You can do that. There are ways of doing that through the USB drive where you can copy the files off and clone it basically onto here. But then you have a lot of extra space. So this gives you the ability to expand onto that space. Again, 64 gigabytes is really what you want as your basic drive. So you're going to see 4 gigs of RAM, 64 gigabyte hard drive is really what you want. But then you want to look to see if it has some sort of expansion like that where you can add more space, because that more space is going to be nice. Something like this Dell, one of the nice features on this Dell is that the RAM in here is actually not soldered onto the motherboard. It's actually using a RAM chip. So we were actually able to pop out. It came with 4 gigs of RAM. We popped out the 4 and put in an 8. And then suddenly she had 8 gigs of RAM. So it would run things a little better, a little faster, a little smoother. Again, not to play Fortnite or do anything big like that, but it gives it a little more oomph, a little more power. And it's a cheaper upgrade to buy a stick of RAM, throw it in there, than it is to buy the next version that's more expensive of a machine like this. So again, something to keep in mind. Now, as far as screens, there are a lot of people that will tell you don't want anything less than 1080p. But honestly, that's not really a thing. If you want a 1080p screen because you want to watch videos in great resolution, I know a lot of people nowadays aren't buying TVs anymore. Everything is done through their phone or their laptop. If you want to make sure you've got a 1080p screen on your laptop because that's how you're always going to be watching videos, then fine, whatever. For most people, though, 1280 by 720 is going to be enough. Or 1280 by 768, depending on, that's really what it's going to be. But it doesn't have to be a full 1080p for you to get a good experience. It's still going to be an HD screen. It's still going to be high definition, technically. Even though it's not a full 1080 screen, and it's going to look fine. You don't want anything less than that. Anything less than that is just going to piss you off when you try to use it, to be quite honest. Because everything, once the resolution goes any smaller than that, then everything looks really big. And that's a problem. A little tablet like this, this was, what, 800 by 480 or something like that was the resolution on a little machine like this. And that is really tough to surf the internet on nowadays. I mean, really, all I use this for, really, I don't use this for anything. If I do use this for anything, it's just to have an extra screen on a day that I'm watching a whole bunch of soccer games at the same time. I want like another TV screen. This is to log into ESPN or Fox Sports or something and to just have to be able to watch one more game and put it on the shelf. But for the most part, this is not really usable nowadays because of the small resolution it has. If you try to surf the internet, a lot of stuff, it's so big, you actually have to use the zoom function in Chrome to shrink things down, and it makes things really hard to see because you're not seeing it in the real resolution, and it looks chunky and grainy, and it's just not, again, not a good experience. So It doesn't have to be a 1080 screen, but you want it to be an IPS screen. You want it to be HD, so it's at least 1280 by 768, I think is what it is. And then keyboards. Here's another thing. People will tell you you want a backlit keyboard. No, that's not really true. People will tell you you want a keyboard that you know has a good click. It's not mushy. That's going to kind of depend on who you are and how much you like to type, how much you're planning on typing. But for the most part, if you think about some of the things that have happened with laptops in the last few years, like take the MacBook Pro. A couple years ago, they switched to the new butterfly switches in the keys, and the keys didn't have a lot of travel. So you pressed them, they didn't travel very far, and then they would often break. But a lot of people complained more about the travel than the actual breaking. Breaking was a thing that happened rarely. More people just complained that it didn't really move very much. So as they were typing, they weren't getting that good feel that they were pushing down and really striking the key to get the motion that they wanted for that typing experience. Now, when you're paying $1,300 for a laptop, yeah, it might be a little more important how it feels when you're typing, how much travel you get on those keys. For the most part, though, when you're buying a laptop, you just want something you can type on. Having a lot of travel on keys is not really that big of a deal, especially if you're buying a $300, $200, $100 laptop. The fact that they move, you can tap them, you can hear, it's got little clicks in there, it's fine. These motions on the keys are basically just dropping down to the level of the plastic, of the silver plastic here. So if you look, you can see that these keys are not very deep. These keys are only moving down, I don't know, 2/10 of a centimeter or something. Like it's very low, but it feels fine. Like you can feel that it's typing and it's making that little click. You have the audio cue that you're typing. You do have the motion on there. You can feel that it's pushing back. It's got some spring to it. It's fine. There are people that will complain that there's a little too much flex because you can press in the middle and the whole thing kind of presses down. It doesn't affect the typing at all. It's not hitting extra buttons or doing anything like that. People are just complaining that it doesn't feel as premium as the other things. Well, you're spending $150 on a laptop, a premium typing experience. That's not what you're buying it for, right? People can complain on a 13. If I spent $1,300 on a laptop, I would want it to be just about perfect too. And I can see those complaints as far as that goes. But on a cheap machine, when you're just buying a basic laptop, keyboard doesn't really matter. The only thing I would caution against is there are some that are super cheap and super small. Some of the 2-in-1 knockoffs, like the knockoffs of the Surface that you will get at places like Walmart, where it's like an RCA or Sylvania brand, and the keyboard is like a hard shell on the bottom, has the keys, and it has like a little plastic ridge on the back with little plastic, I don't know what you'd call them, but little plastic walls, tiny, you know, little ridges that come up, and it snaps onto the bottom of the tablet, so it becomes a Windows tablet keyboard machine. It's a 2-in-1 that they do that way. Those keyboards sometimes are so cheap, though. The problem is that on the cutouts of the keys that make the frame of the keyboard will actually have squares cut, and that's where the keys come through. Sometimes those keys, you press them, they will go below that frame. They will actually go underneath the frame. It won't cause a problem with typing as far as keys getting stuck. That doesn't happen. But it really makes it difficult when you're typing to kind of move your fingers around and slide them, because you will get used to sliding your fingers a lot on the keyboard the more you type. And on a machine like that, where your fingers are actually going into the hole and going down, you feel it kind of getting stuck. Now, maybe you're willing to work around that you know, maybe for you, your personal typing style, you won't care about that as much. For me, that bugs me. That's a problem when it comes to typing, because it makes it really difficult for me, especially if I'm trying to, you know, use both hands on a keyboard like that and try to type. You really have to focus more on a single keystroke before you move on. Now, if you're not going to do a whole lot of typing, then maybe you don't personally care. But that is something to keep in mind. And then battery power. On a lot of these types of machines, they will say you can get 8 hours of battery. And you probably can get 8 hours of battery out of some of these small laptops. But you're going to get 8 hours of battery if you have the screen brightness all the way down, you're not using the Wi-Fi, you turn off the Bluetooth, you turn off the location services, you tell it not to do a lot of background processing, you go into your power settings and you set the graphics and the hard drive, everything on maximum efficiency or power savings, whatever they're going to label it as on the inside, then you might get a full day's, 8 hours out of the battery. Most of the time you're going to get 3, maybe 4 hours. And that's just something you're going to have to deal with. If you want more than that, you're going to need to buy a more expensive machine. And that's what it comes down to. So the battery life is not going to be great on a cheap laptop. But you can work around that. There are certain power bricks that you can get where you can put an actual plug adapter on it, and you can use the same type power bricks that you use on a phone. You want to turn off the laptop, plug it in. It can grab some extra power, like maybe while you're driving in the car or something like that, if you're going from one place to another. It can generate some of the power or refill some of the power off of that power brick. Some of them, like this Chromebook, it actually powers through the USB-C. So I can use a power brick like a phone and plug it in through the USB-C. It's slow, you know, it'll take a lot of time, but you can refill the power. I've got a Falcon Mini Ultrabook. I mean, it's basically the same size as this, but it's a full little laptop. I have it sitting in the other room where I'd pull it out and show you, but it powers over USB-C. So again, I can use one of those bricks to power it, and it's small and light enough that I can actually just plug it in while I'm using it, and it'll, you know, be more than enough to give it extra power so I can get more life out of it. But be prepared for less power if it's not plugged in all the time. If you do plug it in and want to, you know, keep it powered all the time, it's still, you still have to be careful with some of the settings, because some of the settings will be set that once it gets below, say, 30% power, it'll throttle everything in order to try to make that battery last longer. You do need to go in and look at those power settings and figure, do you want maximum performance? Do you want maximum power, like power savings, maximum battery? Or do you want it balanced in the middle where maybe it's not the most powerful it's always going to be, but you get a little bit of extra time to be able to use it with the battery? Most of the time now, if you go somewhere, you go to restaurants, you go to the library, wherever, where you're going to be sitting there, you're going to a Starbucks, whatever, they have plugs. You can just plug it right in the wall. So you don't really have to worry about that most of the time. But it is something to keep in mind. So if you are worried about battery, a Chromebook is a great way to get a lot more battery power. So you can use it a lot longer. You do have the trade-offs that it's not running Windows. If you need Windows stuff, if you really want to run, like, say, Office, that's one of the main things that you want it for, is to do that type of stuff. Maybe you're writing a book and you want a really good writing experience with Word, something like that. Maybe you do a lot of stuff with Excel. I don't know who you are, but maybe it's possible. Some people like Excel. I don't know why. Or PowerPoint, you do a lot of that stuff. You do want a Windows machine. And so then that's something to keep in mind, is that power. So 4 gigs of RAM, 64 gig hard drive. Does it have an expansion slot of some kind, whether it be an M.2 SSD drive or it be a SD card? As far as the Wi-Fi goes, most machines nowadays are using one of 4 different Wi-Fi chips, and they're all pretty similar. The cheapest ones will use the 2.4 gigahertz frequency. The better ones will use the 5 gigahertz. Some will have both built in. What does that mean for you? Most of the time, nothing. most of you who just have like your basic cable internet experience, it's going to connect to it no problem. If you're using your phone as a hotspot, it's going to connect to it no problem. If you're going somewhere where there's public Wi-Fi, like a McDonald's or a Starbucks or whatever, it's not going to make any difference. There's just a few isolated cases where maybe you go to somebody's house and they have a router that's only on the 5 gigahertz and you've got a computer that's a 2.4 and it's not going to be able to see it, but that is so rare. So uncommon. It's not a thing. In 5 years, might it be different? Maybe. But for now, right now, that really doesn't make a difference. Your screen, you want to make sure it's an IPS, not a TFT. I mean, some screens are okay. They're TFT, but really you want to make sure, and I'm probably saying the wrong thing. Now that I've said that like 20 times, is that the right thing? Am I thinking of the right thing in my head? I know IPS is definitely what you want. You want an IPS screen. But the other screens, if you've seen them, again, if you've seen them really cheap, they get washed out. You don't want one like that. So it does help to make sure it's an IPS. Will it always say that? No, not necessarily, but you can take a look at it. If you see one in the store or something and you take it and you just tilt it, you tilt the screen down a little bit or you tilt it to the side and it gets all washed out or reverses, then you know it's absolutely not the one you want at all. Those are going to piss you off, drive you crazy all day. So make sure you don't get those. But really, I mean, cheap laptops, that's it. Again, if you want to play games, if you want a gaming experience, buy an Xbox One. Just buy an Xbox One to play games. Don't buy a laptop to play games unless you're going to spend many hundreds of dollars. You know, not just $200, not just $300. Four, maybe you can start to eke in with some AMD, some Radeon, maybe a Ryzen with a Vega processor. I don't know if you can even get Vega at 400. But, you know, 600, yeah, you're looking 500, 600. That's where you start with a machine that you're going to play games on. You can go to Amazon. If you've had an Amazon account for a long time, if you had Prime for a long time, they will do certain laptops, the Amazon Choice laptops, where they will allow you to pay them in 5 monthly payments. So you can pay $150 a month for 5 months and get a really good laptop if you want to do it that way. You can finance it basically through them. It's no interest. There's no added fees. It's just only available if you've been in good standing with Amazon, I believe with a Prime account for a long time. Then you have that option on certain things. So that's something to keep in mind if you want to get a good one. But as far as buying one used, I wouldn't suggest buying one used unless, again, you're going to turn it into a cloud-ready Chromebook, like one of these types of things. Or if you go on Facebook, you will see someone who bought a gaming laptop for $800 3 or 4 years ago. Now they want to sell it for $300 because they're going to buy a new $800 laptop to game on. You might be able to get something pretty good. It might be 4 years old technology, but 9 times out of 10, that's going to be fine for you, especially if you're looking for budget stuff. You're going to be able to play Minecraft, Fortnite, PUBG, Roblox, whatever you want to play. Now, another thing, Roblox, I keep saying Roblox because I've had several people ask about Roblox specifically. On an actual Chromebook, one that is made for Chrome OS, an actual Chromebook that will run Android apps, you can run the Android version of Roblox on one of these just fine. And I know that because my daughter plays that. So hers is, it's actually the one I used to use before I got this one. It's an Acer, and it comes in a white shell. It's very rectangular. Whereas the Samsung is smooth and rounded. I actually kind of like the other one better. But anyway, it's an older machine. It's, I think, from 2016. So at this point, it's almost 4 years old. But it runs the Android version of Roblox, and it runs it just fine. And she can play that all the time. In fact, I think it runs better than the old HP laptop that she has in her room. Doesn't run the Roblox very well on there. It runs better on her Chromebook. So she ends up using the Chromebook for most stuff. So the Chromebooks are versatile if you want to run some of those Android apps. If you're fine gaming on Android versions of games than getting a $250, $300 Chromebook, and maybe even a $199, $150 if there's a sale going on. Sometimes Black Friday, sometimes Labor Day sales, things like that. After Christmas clearance, you can go check out right now. You can play some of the Android games on there. So if you want to play the Android Minecraft or Android version of Roblox or things like that, then those will run no problem. But as far as wanting an actual gaming experience, you're not going to get that on a cheap one, and stop trying. If you see a laptop that's a Windows laptop that's $150, it's not going to run Fortnite. It's just not going to happen. So stop asking. It's just not a thing that works. So, all right, hopefully that's cleared up some of your questions. I've been doing this, trying to think of the questions that you guys have been sending me. I've tried to go through the list of all the different things. 4 gigabytes of RAM, 64 gigabyte, IPS screen. That's really all you need to worry about. Anything beyond that is a matter of preference or whether or not you're willing to invest the extra bucks to do some of that stuff. Everything else is, you know, everything else doesn't matter. Really doesn't matter beyond that. But if you can, you know, get grandma to spend $1,000 to get you a nice laptop, then get you a nice laptop, and it'll be good to go. All right, that's going to do it for today, guys. I want you to thank you for watching. Again, send me emails, dirt@popculturenetwork.com or dirt@thepopc.net. My daughter just walked in the door. She's home. Hello. She can say hello.
And
that's going to do it for me. I'm not going to ask you to like. I'm not going to ask you to subscribe. I'm not going to ask you to share. I'm not going to ask you to hit that bell. I'm not going to ask you to join my Patreon, which I don't even have. All I want you to do is remember this one thing.
You're watching the best-looking guy on the internet.